Our mission's, our scripture reading this morning. I said that earlier, didn't I? Our scripture reading this morning is going to be brought to us by Dragon. Thank you.
Our verses today are from Book of Acts. I wanted to read from my Serbian Bible, but I was advised that it may cause some problems. So I will be reading from the New King James Version. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who had destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout the Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Amen.
I was trying to get my recording mic a little bit closer, but never mind, it'll have to stay over on the front seat. So good morning, everyone. We continue our journey through Acts, and we're on to Acts chapter 9. Thank you very much for reading that, and I want you to follow through. We'll work our way through and you'll hear some of my reflections and some of the other bits that I've learned about this story. So Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through to 31. And I've entitled this, as you see up on the screen there, "He is indeed." And it's kind of taken out of a particular translation that I was reading and have kind of defaulted to for this week. And yours may read something different, but it comes out of what Saul says in his preaching. So as we look, last week we looked at Saul and his conversion. And there was another character involved in the story. Can you remember the other character? the person who was called to go and see Saul. Ananias, there we go. Ananias, and I was suggesting that Ananias might have been asking God, what, him? You know, go to him? And I'm going to look at this particular passage, and it makes me think maybe Saul would say, what, there? To go back there? Maybe you'll see what I mean as we go into this story. So Saul, he's had this conversion experience, he's been baptized, he's been on a bit of a fast for a few days, then he eats something and he's feeling better. What else happens next? Well, it says in the New Living Translation, and immediately he began preaching. What is preaching? Do you need a pulpit in order to preach? No? What words might we use instead of preaching? What words might we use? How else might we? Teaching, sharing, proclaiming. He's speaking about a message. Then it says immediately. He doesn't wait. He doesn't say, oh, okay, maybe I need to do some other Bible studies now. Straight away, he's into it. He's proclaiming something. He's had this experience, and he just wants other people to know about this experience that he's had. And where does he preach? Synagogue. Safe place or a bit dodgy? I mean, it should have been a safe place for him. What was he going up to Damascus to do? Yeah, he was going to come up to Damascus, see the other Jews there, and if there's any of the Jews that were people of the way, that were followers of Christ, then we're going to round them up and we're going to take them all back to Jerusalem, and because the Sanhedrin there, they've given me permission to collect them, and they're going to try them. They're going to put them on trial, and we're going to sort this lot out. This strange bunch of people that go after Christ. But he's just been through this conversion experience, hasn't he? So which side is Saul on? Suddenly he's on the other side. But he goes to the synagogue. What? There? You see what I'm getting at? Ananias maybe would have thought, what, him? And maybe Saul is thinking, what, there? He goes preaching about Jesus in the synagogue. Talk about confusion. Can you imagine what they must have felt? Suddenly, Saul, you know, he's a renowned person, and he's been studying, it says later on in Scripture, at the feet of Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel was one of the higher regarded teachers of the law and so on, the spiritual leaders, Jewish spiritual leaders at the time. And there he is, where Gamaliel would have been, at the Sanhedrin as well. He's got permission from them. He's going to get these people of the way, but now he's talking about the Jesus of the way in the synagogue. And there's confusion. All who heard him were amazed. That's the way it puts it in my translation. What does it say in yours? Astonished, yeah, that's an interesting word. Astonished, amazed. Any other words? No. Astonished or amazed. And I read the story and I had to stop there. Not least because just a few days ago I listened to a podcast. One of my favourite preachers at the moment, Christine Kane. And She can get quite animated and quite squeaky at times, but she's got an amazing story of her life story behind her. Powerful biblical preaching. But she talked a bit, and by coincidence, if there is such a thing, you know, she talked a little bit this week about this amazement of people and how Jesus came across this centurion who asked for healing for his child, and was it child or was it the servant, asked for healing. And Jesus said, in all of Israel, I have not seen such faith as this. Jesus was amazed at his faith. Who is amazed at your faith? Who is amazed at what you have to say about Jesus? Don't want to labour it too much. I know I keep going on about this, about how we live our lives and how we share our lives and how we chatter about Jesus. All who heard him were amazed. And then we get this conflict. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem? There's the conflict, there's the confusion. What? How come he's... I thought he was against Jesus and he was going to come up and round up the people and take them back to Jerusalem. It's a long way away, 150 miles away, but that's what he's come to do. And now he's preaching about Jesus. What's this all about? Well, of course, he's flawed in his thinking. Maybe they thought. But what does it go on to say? They were amazed. Isn't this the same man? And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests? There was nothing they could do about his argument. My translation says, Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Can you imagine that experience? You know, if we were going to emoji it, what would we do? Mind blown, wouldn't it? It's that kind of a, whoa, what's just happened here? The person that we were expecting to come to get rid of a certain group of people who were talking about this Jesus is now talking about Jesus himself. And actually, we haven't got anything to say against it. Actually, what he is saying is right. Saul, as I've said, learnt at the feet of Gamaliel. He was well versed in what we call the Old Testament, in the scriptures of the Jewish people. And there's so much that we could look into, and probably have a series of talks on this whole idea of messianic Christology. That's kind of that's not a phrase that we want to deal with on a midday on a Sabbath necessarily, do we? Messianic Christology. But all the way through the three sections of the Hebraic writings, the law, the prophets, and the writings, that there are frequent references to what we now look back and realize these are references about the coming Messiah, about Jesus. Saul would have known about these. He would have studied them. And maybe he hadn't had those revealed to that point, but something happened on the way to Damascus. He has that experience with Jesus, and the penny drops. The seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. Okay, that's about Jesus. And the seed of Abraham, the Messiah, the coming one will come through the seed of Abraham, Genesis 22. And through the seed of Judah, Genesis 49, and so on. There's lots and lots of different references through the Old Testament scriptures that point towards Jesus. And now Saul is using them in the synagogue to proclaim Jesus is the Son of God. I was wrong. This is what is right. Saul's preaching became more and more powerful. That gives me encouragement. That as we start to chatter the gospel, it may not come out the best because we're just starting and we haven't had a lot of practice at this. But I read this as this is maybe what it was for Saul, more and more powerful. As he starts talking and talking and talking again, it becomes more rhythmic. It becomes an easier flow. He can explain himself and explain scriptures easier. So, words of encouragement to you. Don't be afraid of what you're going to say to people about Jesus. Because the more you say it, the easier it's going to become. More and more powerful. And they couldn't refute what he had to say about Jesus. After a while, some of the Jews plotted together to kill him. It's not a great story, is it? I mean, how would you feel? You've had this conversion experience, and then God says, now I want you to go to the place that you were going to go to, but to tell them, actually, I am who I am. I'm sure that Saul would have realized the risks involved. He had these murderous threats, and now it's turned full circle. The murderous threats are pointed at him. They plotted together to kill him. They were watching for him day and night in the city gates so they could murder him. But Saul was told about this plot, so during the night, some of their believers lowered him in the large basket through an opening in the city wall. Is that adventurous? Sneaking out of the city because someone wanted to kill him? I mean, there's a Bond film out, just been released recently, isn't there? This doesn't sound very Bond-esque, does it? Now, not very adventurous. It sounds more like Johnny English than James Bond, doesn't it? Sneaking around and very sort of haphazardly in a large basket. But he's getting away. And it makes me think about the words of Jesus. When he says, in your utterances, as you're going around from place to place, and if you're not accepted, then what did Jesus say? Shake the dust off your feet and keep going. To put it a different way, maybe to try and be a little bit poetic, I've written in my notes here, leg it, don't linger. Now, in our conversations with people, in the first place, have the conversations. But if they're not going to be receptive, what do we need to do? Yeah, well, hopefully they're not going to be looking at killing you, but that might be some opposition. Whatever that level of opposition it is, move on. Move on. Find somewhere else that is going to be more receptive for you to talk to them about Jesus. Leg it, don't linger. So he goes out during the night in a large basket. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, so, this is the way that Luke has written out the story. Remember Luke, right at the beginning of Acts and the beginning of his book called Luke, he's writing these accounts to Theophilus. And he admits, I've listened to this story and this story, and from what I can piece it all together, this seems to be the sequence of events. This seems to be what has happened. Well, if we look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 16, now bearing in mind that this is Saul, then Paul, known as Paul, has written Galatians, he's writing about himself. And in that account, he seems to suggest that following being in Damascus, that he then went for a few years in a little bit of a tour before he ended up going into Jerusalem. Does it make a lot of difference to us? that Luke's account seems to be kind of straight away, and that Paul's account is 3 years later. It shouldn't. Paul knew what his life story was. Luke was trying to piece together the stories. Whichever happened, whatever it is, if we're going to think about films and so on, analogies, I kind of figure that this sounds like a little bit like the Star Wars sequence, 9 of them in the end, but then we had the odd one or two kind of dotted in the middle, didn't we? Sort of little spin-off stories. Well, think of Galatians chapter 1 reference as a little bit of a spin-off story. And now we're back onto the sequence. Saul arrives in Jerusalem. Now, whether it was a few weeks or a few years, what had Saul done when he left Jerusalem? What was his intention? He got permission from the Sanhedrin, hadn't he? And he was going to round up the people of the way, and he was going to bring them back. You've taken your time then, Saul. It's been quite a while. Where are the people? Well, actually, not only does Saul turn up without any people that he's rounded up, but he wants to join the people of the way. How would you feel? How would you feel? We read earlier on in Acts that the people of the way, that followers of Jesus, would go to the temple courts and meet together. So there was some sort of interaction, but it was always going to be tense. So Saul turns up, can you imagine? Saul turns up, and he's, whether it's in the temple or wherever else they were rumoured to be meeting, and Saul's trying to kind of, "Hi guys, how's it going?" What do you think they were feeling? Kind of trying to distance themselves a little bit from, this might not end well. But what does Saul get by way of encouragement, an advocate? Who do we have on the scene now? So my beginning would be, we're going through the alphabet, aren't we? Ananias at first, and now Barnabas. Okay, Barnabas. Have we met Barnabas before? Have we? I know it's been some weeks, and it's going to be some weeks as well to work our way through Acts, pretty much all the way through next year. But we'll take it one step at a time. Yes, we have met Barnabas. Barnabas, I suggested that Barnabas's reference about he had a bit of property and he sold his property and gave the money to the apostles for distribution to help with people. And when I read it at that point, when you're going through it sequentially, it might be that you'd think, like I did, what's the point of referencing Barnabas? What's he's got to do with that story? Well, it is a point of reference by way of what happened next was another Ananias, but Ananias and Sapphira, and they sold their property but didn't give all of they had to the apostles. But we did get a reference of Barnabas. So seemingly he was a known character to that body of believers, a well-known character. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told him how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. Barnabas was Saul's advocate. And later on in the story, we will find how Barnabas and Saul end up having a bit of a falling out with each other, but that gets resolved. So Barnabas seemingly was a well enough known character that he was able to bring Saul to the apostles. So Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly. Can you imagine? The person who was well known held the coats at Stephen's stoning, gave his backing to it, was well known to be out to get the people of the way, is now preaching about the Jesus of the way. Imagine the confusion. He preached boldly in the name of Jesus, and here we go again. It starts to get him into trouble. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews. What language did they speak in Damascus? Well, Damascus was, there was a Jewish population there, at least some of the population were Jewish, but it was very much a Roman area, and Greek was the language. Here he is running into Greek-speaking Jews again and getting into some trouble, but they tried to murder him. He's having this debate. They try to murder. What did we learn from the first one about the basket? Leg it, don't leave, linger. Okay, what happens to him in this story, this part of the story? When the believers heard this, they took him down to Caesarea. Everything is down as far as altitude is concerned from Jerusalem, but it's actually north and west. It's a coastal town, Caesarea. It's kind of like Galilee, turn left. Took him to Caesarea, and they sent him off to where his hometown was. It's on the south coast, just inland a little bit from the south coast of what we know as Turkey today. They sent him to Tarsus, his hometown, and then we get this little interlude, this little reference. All of this troublesome time has been happening, but the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. It also grew in numbers. So in our continuation of looking through Acts, I want to encourage you in your chattering of the gospel. Speak out, because the more you speak out, the easier it's going to become. The more fluid it comes off of your tongue. And if you get some people that don't like what you're saying, look for someone else to share that good news with. Keep moving. Keep moving. Hopefully, you won't have to go and be shipped off to Turkey. But hopefully, people will be ready to listen. Who is it that needs to hear you say that he indeed is the Son of God? God bless you as God leads you to the next person.